So I love to travel. Some of you may know this. Every year, I try to go on a trip to a new country, or maybe even several new countries. I'm hoping that later this year I will be going to Italy for the first time, which would be very exciting. Just this past week, you might have noticed, hopefully you noticed, that I wasn't here. Hopefully you missed me, and I'm so happy to be back. But I was actually visiting some friends in Oklahoma, and I had a great time. But I have a confession to make, and that is I am very prideful when it comes to my packing abilities. I'm very proud of the way that I pack. Every trip I've been on, I've always managed to pack everything I need in a carry-on and a personal item. I've never checked a bag, and I hope that I'll never be forced to check a bag when traveling. Because traveling light, as I've observed in other people, seems to be the way to go. When I go on trips, and sometimes I travel through a company that's a bunch of younger people my age, and I meet a bunch of new people. It's an amazing experience. But I always look to see how much people bring with them. And there are sometimes when people are bringing gigantic suitcases, plus a carry-on, plus a personal item, so much luggage with them for like an 8-day trip. And I wonder, what could you possibly have in there? And the problem with packing heavily and bringing a lot of baggage with you is that it slows you down. It not just slows you down, but it slows down your family as well, or whoever you're traveling with. It also increases the chance and the likelihood of something wrong happening on your trip. I thankfully have never really had a travel disaster story yet. I praise God for that and thank for that. Knock on wood, because I'm sure it'll happen someday. But if you have a travel nightmare story, chances are it might have something to do with the luggage that you brought with you. Losing your luggage, you know, your luggage being sent to another country, to another state, or whatever. Or maybe something breaking in your bag when you see him like throwing it into the back of the plane. So that's part of the reason why I like to travel light. And the same thing applies to life. When you travel with a lot of emotional baggage, emotional baggage slows you down. Emotional baggage slows everyone around you down. It also increases the likelihood of something bad happening later in life, of it popping up again and becoming an inconvenience. So this morning, as we talk about being transformed emotionally, we're actually going to focus on overcoming emotional baggage. The good news is that Scripture and the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of those who lived with Jesus and followed Jesus offer practical steps and solutions you can take to avoid the amount of emotional baggage that you carry with you in life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And the first step that I have for you is, number one, be honest about what you're feeling. Be honest about what you're feeling. The temptation for many of us is to ignore what we're feeling. Ignore our emotions. The temptation is to think that if I suppress what I'm feeling right now, that means I'm not dealing with it. But the truth of the matter is that just increases the likelihood of it popping up again in some other area of your life. You might try to suppress that betrayal that you experienced, suppress the pain that you felt in childhood, but chances are it's showing in other areas of your life. Honestly, if you wanted to, ask the people around you if it's showing in other areas of your life. And they'll tell you the truth, because you might not realize it, but it's rearing its ugly head. That bitterness is there. Those trust issues are there. So you don't want to suppress your feelings. You want to be honest about what you're feeling, because emotions aren't the enemy. Our emotions aren't inherently bad or wrong or evil. God gave us our emotions. They're survival skills that come out of our emotions and the ability to communicate and feel life and celebrate. Our emotions aren't the problem. What the problem is letting your emotions control you. You don't want to let your emotions control you. When you allow your emotions to consume you and control you, that's where we make the regretful decisions later on. You want to be honest about what you're feeling. Acknowledge what you're feeling in the moment. If you've experienced pain and trauma in your life, have a conversation with yourself and be honest about what exactly that did to you. How exactly that makes you feel. So when you're being honest about what you're feeling, first of all, you want to be honest with yourself. Don't suppress or ignore the pain. Don't suppress or ignore the betrayal that you felt. You might think that that's dealing with the problem, but it isn't. You also want to be honest with God. Have an honest and open conversation with God about the pain that you feel, the betrayal that you felt, the hurt from your parents' divorce. Be honest about how that made you feel then and how that makes you feel now. God can handle it. God can handle whatever baggage we have. And the cool thing is that he actually already knows how we feel. He knows better than us how that makes us feel today, but he still invites us to bring it to him. He invites us to rant a little. Some of you might like vent out, you know, to your family, your friends, whatever. God invites you to do the same with him. He can handle it. I was in a Bible study once, several years ago, and it wasn't with anyone in this church. Someone said that sometimes God needs a break from us because he can't handle us complaining. No, that couldn't be the further truth. God is God. He can handle it, all right? He invites us to bring it to him. Be honest with God about how you're feeling. Thirdly, be honest with another. You don't have to be honest with everyone. I mean, be honest with everyone, but you don't have to tell everyone. Trust everyone with your pains and your traumas and your hurts. But choose someone, a family member, your spouse, a trusted friend, or maybe a trained counselor who can help you work through these issues. But there is something so freeing about telling someone else what you experience. In fact, David wrote, King David of the Old Testament wrote in Psalm 32:3, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." When you keep things on the inside, when you refuse to tell anyone and open up about that pain and the trauma that you experienced, it's so much pressure on the inside that sometimes all you need to do is tell someone else for the valve to be open and the pressure to be released, for the weight to be lifted. So be honest about what you're feeling with yourself, with God, and with someone else. The second step to overcoming emotional baggage is forgive those who have hurt you. This is an easy one. But if you're a Jesus follower, we're commanded to do this. Forgive those who have hurt you. And we've heard this. Even if you haven't gone to church, you've heard this. Forgive others. Forgive others. I'm supposed to forgive others. And for most of us, what that looks like is a simple statement, right? I forgive you. Maybe you didn't even tell them in person. Maybe it just means, okay, I forgive them. But did you really? Did you really forgive them? Because here's a question. You're shopping at Target. You walk down an aisle. You're looking for cereal. You see that person who you forgave in that aisle. What happens? Feel your heart beating in your throat a little bit? Chest gets tight? You take the long way around to get the cereal? Like the long way around, like go to the opposite end of the store to avoid that person and then go back in that aisle. I know people who have left the store they were in while shopping before getting what they needed because they saw someone that they didn't want to see. Their name comes up in conversation. How do you feel on the inside? Is the anger still there? Is the bitterness still there? That pain Is it still festering on the inside? Maybe you said you forgave them. Maybe you told them you forgave them. But did you really? Forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness isn't a simple, you know, three-word statement or whatever. It's something you have to dedicate time and energy to. So I have a simple two-step process to forgiving someone. First one is pray for them. Mark 11:25 says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That's something interesting that we'll get to in a moment. But praying for someone. When they come up in conversation and you feel that tightness in your chest, you feel that bitterness and that hurt and that betrayal resurface, pray for them. Not pray against them, which is something we like to do. You know, I pray they get what they deserve. Lord, I pray you give them all they deserve. No, it's not what the Bible commands us to do. The Bible isn't telling us to pray like the warrior David. The Bible is telling us to pray like Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Pray for them. Pray for their well-being. Pray that Jesus, that they would have an encounter with Jesus. Pray that they would be blessed. Pray that the Holy Spirit and God would work through their life. It's not easy. There will be a lot of pain that will resurface while you're praying those things. But the more you do it, the more that bitterness, that hurt, that betrayal, it'll go away. And you know what? You'll think you'll get it the first time. What happens? You see him at church. That pain comes back again. You see them post on Facebook because, of course, you're still Facebook friends with them. And that pain resurfaces. Pray for them again. Pray for them again. Pray for them again. Because the second step is repeat. This is a continual process. You're going to have to go back to it over and over and over again. But every time you do it, a little bit of that pain will go away. A little bit of that pain will disappear. To eventually, you get to the point where you see them. How are you doing? Nice to see you. You wish them well because that pain is there. And I want to be clear about something. Forgiving doesn't mean you open yourself up to the same hurt and betrayal over again. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean trusting them again. Because you should say, if someone is really toxic, if someone is really unhealthy, if you had a really bad relationship with someone, there needs to be that boundaries. But the important thing is, the boundaries are there, but the bitterness is gone. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the expression that like holding bitterness and not forgiving someone is like drinking a poison and hoping they die. Because the one who is suffering in that situation is you. So pray for them. Pray for them again. Pray for them again. Matthew 18:21-22 said, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" Peter's saying, seven times, thinking that he just gave Jesus a high number to impress him. Yeah. Jesus responds, "I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven." It's a process. You do it over and over and over again. And you know what? Maybe that person will hurt you again. You go through the process over and over and over again until the pain and the bitterness isn't there. Now, some of us on the inside, if we're honest, we want to push back at this moment and say, okay, but you don't know what they did to me. Okay, but you don't know what they stole from me. You don't know the repercussions that I've dealt with for the rest of my life because of their actions in my childhood. I'll never get any of that back, and you expect me to forgive them? They don't deserve it. And you're right. They don't deserve it. But neither do you. Because we've all hurt someone. We've all taken something from someone that can't be returned. We've all hurt people in our lives. And if you're honest, you know you don't deserve the forgiveness. You don't deserve anyone's forgiveness because there's nothing you can do to solve that. We can't travel through time. We can't uncheat on someone. We can't unlie. We can't unsteal. We can't take back the hateful words that we said. We can't take back the trauma that we caused people to deal with. You don't deserve it. But Jesus, who never hurt anyone, who never did any wrong to anyone, decided to take the guilt and the blame of our actions on himself and then forgive us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't like that verse. I wish it just said, he'll just freely forgive you no matter what you do. But that's not what it says. And there's something similar found time and time again in the New Testament scriptures, that Jesus, our Heavenly Father, forgiving us of our sins is conditional on whether or not we forgive other people of their sins. If you're a follower of Jesus, this isn't just a suggestion. This is a commandment that the forgiveness that Jesus offers us, we have to first extend to others. No, they don't deserve it, but neither do we. Third step to overcoming emotional baggage is confess when you've hurt others. Like I said, we've all done something to hurt someone. We've all ruined relationships with people. Have you really owned up to it, though? Have you owned up to it, or have you kind of like suppressed it a little? Every time it comes up, you kind of just push it to the back of your mind. Maybe you justify your actions, right? Yes, I did that, but yes, I said that to them, but yeah, I hurt them, but they hurt me. Yes, I did that, but the reason is, and every time that guilt and that shame starts to resurface in your mind for what you did that you can't take back, you just suppress it and you push it in the back like, yes, I did that. No, it wasn't the greatest thing to do, but I had my reasonings behind it. Maybe they hurt you too. So own up to your part. Own up to your side of the story. You hurt them too. Own up to it. Confess when you've done something wrong. Confess to God. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." When you admit to that thing that you're ashamed of, to that thing you did several years ago that's been causing this guilt inside, and the moment you actually own up to your part, you own up to what you did, you refuse to justify your actions, you admit that you were immature, that you were selfish, that you know, whatever it was, that you just intentionally hurt someone, whatever it is, when you own up to that and confess it, what happens? The weight is lifted. Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That burden is gone. There's something so freeing about confessing what you've done. And like we said, as long as you're forgiving others, when you bring these things that you're ashamed of, when you bring these times, these painful times that you've hurt someone to God, He is faithful to wipe it out. Wipe your slate clean. Forgive you for whatever you've done. The problem is, though, yes, God forgave you. God wiped it out. But there still may be repercussions for your actions. Here on earth, there is still a ruined, broken relationship. There is still damage that was done. And like we said, you can't go back and fix it. So the second step after confessing to God is confess to them. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." God's heart lies with His people. The will of God is healthy and loving relationships. So before you even offer a sacrifice to God, before you say, "God, I want to follow you," what He cares about more is reconciling with your brothers and sisters. Going back and apologizing, taking ownership of what you did. And no, it's not easy at all. It's incredibly difficult. It costs you your pride and your ego and your comfort, but it's the will of your Father to reconcile and apologize for what you did. Now, I want to acknowledge that maybe there are some situations where actually going and talking to that person might not be the healthiest thing. That could exist. Maybe the relationship was so toxic and unhealthy that actually contacting them in any way would just bring up more problems. Maybe the person that you hurt is no longer here. They've passed, right? In those instances, actually in every instance, what I suggest is first just writing out your apology, writing out your repentance, admitting to your part and your role in it. Write a letter. If you're able to and you think it would be beneficial, reach out to that person, whether in person, email, phone call, text message. Apologize. This is something that I've been working through. I've had heavy weight on my chest for a couple of weeks thinking about people in my old life who I've hurt. Two people specifically. And again, anytime I thought about my actions or what I did, I would justify them. That was the knee-jerk response to justify my actions. I did it because. And finally, it was God. You know, sometimes there is fake guilt and false guilt. And sometimes there's this guilt that God is giving you because you need to deal with something. And this is something that I was feeling and working with. And actually, when I was gone last week, I had a conversation about this with a friend of mine. And he shared his story of contacting all these people in his old life, reaching out to them and apologizing to them. And just got to the point, of course, I knew I needed to do that before I had that conversation, but it was just the last little pin that I needed. And so this past week, I reached out to those two people who had been on my mind, and I owned up to my part. I owned up to the hurt that I caused them and the pain that I can't take back. And I did not deserve forgiveness. I didn't even deserve a response from either of them, to be honest, much less a good response. One of those people, they either haven't responded yet or haven't seen it or have and chose not to respond. And honestly, that's more than I deserve. The other person, they actually did respond, and we actually had a great conversation, an honest conversation. I actually found out that they didn't, you know, have as much pain as I did, that I thought I caused, and they forgave me. And after sending the message to both of those people, the weight was lifted. I don't feel that pain and that guilt and that burden anymore because I finally, after years of denying what I did and after years of justifying my actions, I admitted to what I did and I feel so much freer today. Fourth step is replace lies with God's truth. When you look back at your life and at difficult moments of pain and trauma, chances are a reason why those memories are so difficult and so traumatic and painful is because they've caused you to believe a lie about yourself. Someone spoke something or did something into your life that caused you to believe a lie about yourself. Growing up as a pastor's kid, again, I had a great childhood, but growing up as a son of a pastor, I grew up in a bit of a public eye in the spotlight. And, normal kids my age, my peers were held to a certain standard, and then I was held to a certain standard. And so I have a lot of baggage that I'm still continuing to deal with throughout my life of things that adults had said to me in the church and the school and around life and things that people spoke into my life and the lies that resulted from that. I had a teacher, I don't even know why, for years, because she kind of like ended up following our class throughout school. She had a nickname for me and it was Slacker. She just called me Slacker, and it might seem harmless, it might seem like a joke, but that caused something in me. I began to believe that lie, and I'm still dealing with the repercussions of that today, of how that's caused me to view myself and the way that I work and my efficiency and my self-worth. I'm still dealing with that. Also, my weight is something that, and my fitness level is something that I've dealt with my entire life, but I came to a realization maybe like a year ago. I was, as a child, I was overweight at like a crucial, time in your childhood from like fourth grade to like the beginning of seventh grade. And in that moment, I had lots of adults comment on that publicly. Sometimes I was trying to say something helpful, but a lot of times incredibly hurtful stuff. Adults that I respected and cared for saying these incredibly hurtful things about my weight. And so the rest of my life, I have struggled with this issue of how I see myself. And it was only a year ago, looking through all my school photos, that I actually realized I actually was only overweight for a couple of years. But I viewed myself as fat, is what people called me, as chubby, my entire life. If you look at a freshman year photo of me, my mom would say that I was emaciated. I was incredibly, incredibly thin. And I saw myself as incredibly overweight during that time. And that's something that I'm now finally being, able to deal with, that I realized that that's a lie that I have believed about myself. But just as do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the lies that you have been told, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We need to search in your life through that lies that you believe about yourself and replace it with the truth that God offers and the truths and the promises that are found in the scripture. In Jesus, the lie that says, I will never escape my past, becomes the truth of I am set free. I am worthless becomes I am a child of God. I will never amount to anything becomes I am a citizen of heaven and a member of the body of Christ. I'll never overcome this problem. Maybe someone told you, you'll never be able to handle this addiction or this problem, this financial issue. That becomes I am victorious in Christ. I am an overcomer. And I am lovable. The lie of thinking that you are unlovable becomes I am loved by my heavenly Father. Search, be honest with what you're feeling. Search your life through the pain that you felt and replace those lies with God's truth. And the last step this morning is look to the road ahead. We focus on the future. Look to the road ahead. We all know people who are trapped in their past, right? And let's be honest, they're not fun people to be around. People who can't get over their past pain and can't get over their past hurts, and they're always trapped in that moment of time. Don't be like that. Look to the road ahead. And as my dad shared and Noah has shared during family time several times, you can't, you know, force yourself to stop thinking about something. You can only replace that with thinking about something else. Noah gave the example of you can't, if I, you know, tell you to think, if I tell you not to think about pink elephants, you're thinking about pink elephants. But then if I tell you to think about yellow zebras, now you're thinking about yellow zebras. You have to replace the negative thoughts, replace thinking once you've properly dealt with it, once you've forgiven people and forgiven yourself, replace those thoughts with good thoughts. Philippians 3:13 says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Press on to what Jesus is offering you. Now let's go back to the analogy of the baggage, right? You're in the airport. You're carrying so much baggage with you through the airport. You see a mom traveling. Maybe she's alone with a bunch of kids and she's got a bunch of baggage and she drops something. Your instinct, hopefully, would be to go help them. But guess what? That's difficult to do when you're carrying a lot of baggage of your own, right? When you're traveling with so much baggage of your own in life, that inhibits your ability to help and serve others. Because you only have so much emotional energy in your life. And when you're spending so much of that emotional energy, even if you don't realizing it, trying to you know, suppress what you're dealing with, you're not going to have anything left over to give to others. Look to the road ahead. Deal with what you need to deal with and refocus on the future. Look at who's at the side of the road, who might need your help. So I have three challenges for you to take home this week. First one is, be honest with God about how you're feeling. Have an honest conversation with God. Bring to Him your hurt, your pain, your betrayal. Don't hold back because He can't handle it, but be honest about what you're feeling. Second one is, ask God to reveal those you need to forgive. Pray, Heavenly Father, who is it that I am still holding bitterness against? Chances are, while I'm speaking today, those people already came up to your mind. You should write them down so, you know, to force yourself to remember. But if by some chance those people didn't come up to your mind, pray and ask God, Lord, who is it that I'm still hold anger against? Who am it that I'm still bitter towards? Who do I need to forgive? And then begin that process and invite the Holy Spirit to help you in that process. And then ask God to reveal those you need to apologize to. Maybe those people came to your mind. Maybe you've dealt with it. That's awesome. I apologize to the two people that laid heavily on my heart. I'm sure there are probably still more people out there, and I'm going to continue to pray that God will reveal who those people are. But ask God, who is it that I need to apologize to? My friend actually shared that he asked a family member of his, hey, I know I need to apologize to these people. What other people do I need to apologize to as well? So maybe you need to ask a family member, your loved one, a spouse, because they've witnessed what you've done. So I'm sure there's someone out there that you need to reconcile with. Either contact them or do it between yourself and God. This isn't easy. None of this is easy. It's simple in concept, in theory, but it's incredibly difficult to live out, and I acknowledge that. But being a follower of Jesus isn't easy. If so far your Christian life has been easy, if your experience as a Christian hasn't cost you anything, I have to ask, are you really following Jesus? Or is Christian just a stamp that you stick on things? Because it's not easy. These things will cost you something. Like I said, it'll cost you your pride and your ego and your comfort. When I reached out and apologized to people, it cost me my pride. it was very difficult to do. I was honestly kind of praying, you know, I kept praying, God, if I don't have to do this, send me a sign that I don't have to do this, because I did not want to do it. Of course, the guilt just built, and the signs were there, and the conversations were happening, and I'm listening to messages, and all signs pointed towards, you need to handle this. It's not easy. And forgiving people isn't easy. You're going to give up your rights to be angry and upset with them, because you have the right to be angry and upset with that person for what they did to you. You have to give up that right, because following Jesus isn't easy. Forgiving people isn't easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The peace that I feel now, after owning up to what I did, is worth it. And this is nothing to the peace that I will feel in eternity with Jesus. I'm already happy with the peace that I feel now, the burdenless feeling that I have now, and the weight being lifted. Imagine what it will be like on the other side of eternity. And the other important component is, I hear lots of people complain about the things that we have to do as Christians. But the gift from God, that is the Holy Spirit, lifts this burden for us. So I want to invite you to invite the Holy Spirit into these actions. And he will help you, because you can't do it on your own. If you could just freely forgive people on your own and own up to what you did on your own and live a good life on your own, then the ministry and life of Jesus is worthless. You can't. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. It is too difficult to do on your own. It's impossible. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is the celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death to his followers. So take advantage of that gift. When you pray and you're forgiving people, Holy Spirit, take over. I pray that. I especially pray that before I'm preaching on a Sunday morning. Holy Spirit, take over. I never feel good about a sermon that I write until I start preaching it, because the Holy Spirit, the gift from God, helps. Pray. Pray in each moment. Holy Spirit, help me go through this. Because it isn't easy, but he will help, and it is worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, this challenging word, but we know that there is truth behind these words, Lord. I pray that you would help us deal with whatever it is that you've brought to our hearts and our minds right now. I'm sure most of us here probably are thinking of names and faces of people that we're either still holding bitterness against, or people that we've hurt and haven't apologized to. I just pray that the Holy Spirit would be in this room, and the Holy Spirit would just give everyone the peace that they need and the wisdom that they need to make the right decision, whatever it is. Be with us throughout this week as we tackle these difficult issues, and we try to remove the unnecessary weight of emotional baggage so that we can travel through this life lightly and be able to help others. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for guiding us. And I thank you for everyone who's here today and watching the message at home. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.